Chapter 38, Change and Hard Work. Opening questions. Can we become better human beings if we don't change? Is it not true that the hardest things in life are often the most valuable experiences? Did Joshua say that following him would be easy? If I am unwilling to undergo difficult change or engage in difficult or hard work, can I be a successful follower of Joshua of Nazareth? Who is truly our model for change? The heart of the solution has been given. Make Joshua of Nazareth your leader and live by truth and rightness for love. This is not easy and will require change in views, beliefs, perspectives, behavior, and lifestyle, contrary to the false gospel of Christianity. When people hear that Joshua wants people to change their lives to live according to his principles, they get offended. This is especially true of Christians and Biblians because they have been taught and believe that, quote, believing in Christ or partaking in some religious ritual like going to church or merely trying to be a good person according to the world's standards and receiving or living by God's grace is all that is necessary to, quote, go to heaven, and they are only too happy with that gospel. Sadly, non-theists and agnostics seldom get this far. They typically have thrown the baby, that is Joshua of Nazareth, out with the bathwater, Christianity, long ago and simply were not considered the fact that most of what they have heard and experienced regarding Jesus Christ from Christians is inaccurate or wrong. It is also much more difficult for a non-theist or a relativist to examine their own lives since they have no standard to do so except their conscience. Non-theists have to push past the false beliefs and fallacies of their circles, as well as having rejected the falsehoods of Christianity, and get back to the basic reasonable life questions such as, is it reasonable that human beings, that is very complex organic machines with a metaphysical component, just happen by natural forces? How is it possible to know right from wrong? If forgiveness, for example, is real and yet it is not physical, doesn't that mean a non-physical reality exists? Do I have a soul, and if I do, what happens to me when my body dies? Do I get to choose my state, place, or condition after I die? If I choose to live by love, as Joshua of Nazareth says, why would that be bad, wrong, or harmful? Would the quality of my life be better or worse? After they arrive at the place reason will lead them after answering those questions, the most important question becomes, what is wrong with the real Joshua of Nazareth's core teachings as revealed in the four gospel books, or in this book? What is wrong with true love, sharing, caring about what is true and right? Doesn't everybody need a leader? Shouldn't people choose the best leader possible? On what objective basis should I believe that I am the best leader for my life? Doesn't fear, self-pride, and selfishness pretty much make it impossible to be a best leader? Is there anyone who can love me more than my Father, Creator, and His Son? If those who hear Joshua's truths about love and life and get it to some extent but are not willing to do it, they use various ploys to avoid the truth or explain it away. For those who are offended, the end of the communication will often end with some kind of a statement like, we are not willing to change our way of life. We have been living this way for these hundreds of years. In other words, defending their way of life is a very high priority. So high, wars are regularly started over that. Stated yet another way, not being willing to change due to selfish reasons is the way things are. That is the status quo of humanity and the world Joshua entered into, describes, and rebukes. Change is difficult, especially personal characteristic change. Changing ourselves is one of the most difficult endeavors of life, and yet it is perhaps the most valuable and meaningful endeavor of life. Without change, we cannot become better human beings. Setting our goals high is what makes an opportunity for exceptional life. Striving after those goals and accomplishing them, if they are truly noble, makes for an exceptional life, a life well lived. Hard work is not something most people look forward to, but it is oftentimes a matter of perspective. Some people's physically hard and unenjoyable work is another person's easy and enjoyable work. Are we talking about effort regarding hard work or some other characteristic? I think for most people, when they speak of hard work, they are speaking about something they don't want to do. It could be easy physically or mentally, but if they don't like the work, it will be viewed as, quote, hard. So really, hard work for most people equals work I don't want to do or that I don't like to do. In this case, there is no way getting around the hard work of self-change. The reason self-change is so difficult is because of our self-pride and lack of humility. Since many walk around in the delusion that they are the cat's meow, yeah, I know that's an old saying, or that they are God's gift to the world, they see no reason to change anything about themselves. The self-focused, narcissistic society of selfishness and self-esteem encourages this in those leaning towards humility and cements it for the arrogant. However, if you want to follow Joshua and be part of the solution instead of being part of the problem, you're going to have to change. For that matter, if we want to be a better human being, we're going to have to change. The solution, as stated in this book, is really very simple to understand. Actually make the historical person of Joshua of Nazareth, the one who defeated death to prove all he said and did was true and right, your leader. If and when you do that, the first thing he will ask of you is for you to change, to give up a life lived out of fear, self-pride, and selfishness, of taking from, taking advantage of, hurting, and neglecting others, to give up living for or working for money and material things, and instead start working for Joshua and the kingdom of God. We must be willing to sincerely look in the mirror without rose-colored glasses and truly see. And then we must start practicing a life of love with others. That, dear reader, will involve change, significant change. And that change all starts with our seeing our guilt and shame and having our spirit reborn from above. Quote, Joshua answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Joshua answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that is the natural birth marked by the breaking of the mother's water, and the spirit, the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above." Unquote. Sadly and tragically, many Christians have been taught to believe they were, quote, born again due to some ritual, usually baptism, they partook in as a child or adult, or due to some merely emotional experience they had in the past. The truth is that being truly born from above will involve significant change, and it needs to happen after we are adults. No children need to be born from above, for their relative innocence keeps their spirit alive and it keeps them open to considering truth. It is once we pass into adulthood that our spirit dies. We stop listening well to our conscience or justify our bad behavior and thus embrace the world, and we enter into the darkness of the walking dead. Ultimately, the solution begins with you, dear listener. If you don't allow the Creator to take you out of the cage you are in individually, then you will always be part of the collective problem. If you refuse His invitation to bring you to a higher level of existence, then you will remain in the cage and you will remain part of the problem despite all your religion or protestations or denials to the contrary. Here was what the Creator's messenger said regarding getting out of the cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness. Quote, "Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but is passed out of death into life." Unquote. That's John 5:24. How does a person pass from death to life? Obviously, Joshua was talking to living people when he made that statement, so he was not talking about physical life. Please read the teaching in context to confirm this. He gives the answer plainly. One passes from spiritual death, that is a person with a dead spirit, to spiritual life, that is one spirit made alive, by hearing His word, which is to listen to and receive what He, not the Bible, says as true because the person hearing believes that God sent Joshua. This is the only sure way to avoid condemning oneself through a life lived in bondage to self, pride, fear, and selfishness, and instead entering into an existence of life. The light provides another view of the same event, the event of a person passing from death to life, in these sayings. Quote, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again or from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's John chapter 3. These two sayings have the same thing in view. That is the one in John 5 and John chapter 3. A human being passing from an existence with a dead spirit, a spirit that died at some point after childhood, to an existence with a living spirit, a reborn spirit, that is, with the ability to know, commune with, and love our Creator and Father, as Joshua reveals him. Chapter section. The new birth analogy, being born out of this world. Each human being must pass through a second birth experience if they wish to enter life, and that is eternal life. The first is the natural birth, which all people experience, and which birth is usually marked by the breaking of water of the woman giving birth. The second is the spiritual birth, where a person's dead spirit is made alive by the Father's Spirit, the living water Joshua refers to. Joshua uses simple and universally known concepts and imagery to convey important truths. In this case, he used the birth experience. A baby in his or her mother's womb is essentially asleep, completely unaware of life outside the womb. It's in a dark, virtually silent place, asleep, being fed and provided oxygen without any effort of his or her own. It is in a state of existence that, while real and true, is very different than life outside the womb. When the baby is born, he or she enters into a whole new realm of existence. Sound and sight and taste and smell are now actively used to understand this new realm. He or she must now choose to eat food and drink water to sustain the body. He or she now uses her metaphysical components to navigate the new realm. The heart is used to make choices about what to think and how to behave. The soul is used to express emotions associated with thoughts and experiences and nudge us with our conscience. The mind is used to understand the new realm, both physical and metaphysical components of the new realm outside the womb. The same is true of the new spiritual birth. A person moves from one realm of existence to another, from no faith at all, or faith in the wrong things, that's analogous to in the womb or in the world, to new faith or faith in the right person, that is, out of the womb or into the kingdom of God. Just like a baby in the womb, the person who has reached adulthood but has not been born again or born from above exists in a spiritual realm of darkness where the use of their heart, soul, and mind are broken, inoperable, dysfunctional, or misguided. They live in spiritual darkness with the manifestations of hopelessness, despair, depression, anger, frustration, lovelessness, internal pain or suffering, lostness, confusion, etc. The person whose spirit has not been made alive by the new birth is ruled by a dark nature of self, pride, and fear and selfishness. They exist to better and protect their life in the world at all costs. They are spiritually asleep in the darkness, just like the baby in the womb or a person in the world. The person who has been born from above, or again, in contrast, have come out of the darkness of the womb or world and have entered into the new realm, the kingdom of God. They did what was required to be free from the cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness. They have left the darkness and have come into the light. They now have a new understanding of life and how to live and help others out of the darkness. They are not despairing or depressed or loveless or hopeless or lost or confused about basic life matters and life in this world. In short, they have had their spirit made alive due to their seeing their need to get out of the darkness in their cage and have placed their faith in the light of the world to remove them from the darkness of this world and its ways. They have become a new person with a different life, perspective, and purpose, and a new understanding of how to live the new life they have been given through their faith in Joshua and the Father he reveals. If a person has not experienced these things, if they are not born from above, then they, quote, cannot enter the kingdom of God, unquote, or stated in another way, they will condemn themselves and terminate their existence one day. One experiences these things by first seeing their need to be made alive. In other words, a person must see or sense at some level that they are living a life of spiritual death, a life not knowing what is right or wrong, true or false, a life of ignoring their father and his messenger and leader, a life of living by their pride, self, fear, and selfishness, and all the wrong and hurtful things said and done as a result, a life of living for money or material things, a life of hopelessness regarding death. Once a person sees that is true of themselves, they will sense great remorse over that wasted, empty, loveless hurt and take from others' life and turn to the Father to make them alive to a life of caring about what is true and right and living by love. A person deserving death being offered life freely from being guilty or ignoring life and hurting other people will be most thankful for the forgiveness offered by the Father. There will be as a flutterby, having changed from a caterpillar. There will be a new person, not a perfect person, for that will be striven for by hard work rather than a new person. A new person, new purpose, new motivation, new understanding. What are the primary manifestations of passing from death to life? From having one's spirit made alive by God's Spirit and thus entering into an existence of faith in one's Heavenly Father and Joshua? The primary manifestations are a dramatic change in one's life perspective, a newfound love for the Heavenly Father as revealed by Joshua, and a desire to know the ones who made me alive. Quote, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Joshua of Nazareth, whom you have sent." Unquote. John 17:3. How do you get to know God and Joshua, his son? Stated another way, how do you get to know the creator of life on the earth and his messenger? By reading Joshua's words, not anyone else's, as a child would, and believing what he says. How do you know you are truly believing what he says? How do you know if you love him? Here's another quote from him, quote, "If you love me, you will do as I say," unquote. That's John 14:15. The primary manifestation of loving someone in authority over us is to be eager to do what they want. Chapter section, the change from child to adult and the death and rebirth of our spirit. As we saw back in chapter 3, all people, except severely disabled people, were born with all three metaphysical components, heart, soul, and mind, and their spirit. Those components develop over time as we grow. Children are known for their innocence and their willingness to accept what is told them as true. Innocent is defined as, quote, freedom from guilt or sin, through being unacquainted with evil, unquote, or, quote, not knowing what is wrong or what wrong is, accepting things at face value and having an intuitive predisposition to do what is right, trusting people, unquote. As children, we know that we exist due to something outside ourselves, even though we cannot understand that source. We have an innate trust in that which created us, even if we were told the falsehood that our parents created us. The truth is our parents just brought together the raw materials of sperm and egg, and the Creator's miracle of genetics took over to create our bodies, the hardware, while the Creator himself continued to be the source of our existence, of our spiritual or metaphysical components, the software. To use the other metaphor, as children, we exist outside of the cage of fear, self-pride, and selfishness, even while we are still influenced by those weaknesses. In other words, if children have both light, that is truth-based knowledge, a functioning mind and a working conscience, and darkness, that is self-pride and fear and selfishness, the light in children is greater than the darkness. However, something happens as we become, as we human beings start to reach adulthood. As we enter into our teenage years, we transition from the innocence of childhood and its basic outlook and relational dynamic of trusting others to the non-innocence of understanding what is wrong and wanting what is wrong to some degree and to not trusting others because of the wrongness we experience with ourselves and the people we encounter or have relationships with. This lack of trust extends to all beings, including the one who designed and created us. We impugn human characteristics on the Creator or wrong attributes to him, and thus decide he is not worthy of our trust or faith, or that he will condemn us for our wrongs, or worse, that he does not exist or worst of all, that he is the reason for our faults and wrong wantings. Religion plays an important role in this wrong understanding of our Creator Father. When we leave innocence and a simple trust faith in our source, our spirit dies, in a sense, or we become spiritually blind, deaf, and dumb. Stated another way, we fall into darkness. This happens when we turn away from a simple faith trust in our Creator to trusting only in ourselves or to a limited extent in others we deem worthy. We also leave reason as the primary way to understand the reality we find ourselves in. This does not mean that reason is not used at all, rather that reason is not used in those areas of our existence that we are uncomfortable with or that gets in the way of our selfish desires. So, there we are, walking dead as teenagers. We have our hearts, souls, and minds, but our spirit dies as we walk away from innocence and start living some version of, quote, everyone has to do it to survive in the world, or, quote, everyone does it, therefore so will I, or, quote, I need to do this to get what I want. We enter into darkness of a life now guided by fear, self-pride, and selfishness. We walk into the cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness and close and lock the door. We put ourselves in a prison of our own making. We live to preserve our life in this world, often at any cost, as we value our body and partake of the delusion that our body is who we are. We reject faith in anything we cannot prove by physical means or validate with our senses. We reject sound reason and objective evaluation when it points to places where we don't want to go. However, even in this self-inflicted state of darkness, our Creator provided a sign or manifestation of being in this state of soul or spirit. And that sign or manifestation is emptiness in our soul. At some level, we sense an incompleteness, longing, or emptiness within ourselves. Our being able to sense this emptiness can range from shutting it down altogether and thus not sensing it at all, to only sensing it during certain experiences or thoughts, to a very obvious and even conspicuous pain. We have some level of understanding that we are missing something important. Then, what is most common is people try very hard to fill that emptiness with something other than our Father and His love. Money, education, careers, drugs, alcohol, sex, another person, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, vicarious relationships through Facebook, thrill-seeking, entertainment, etc., etc. There are many ways that people seek to fill the emptiness they experience in their soul, but those ways never satisfy. Oh, we can absolutely hide the emptiness for a time with these things, but it will always come back if we are listening. Many people try very hard to not listen, and consumer electronics have made that quite easy. How many people are literally bound to their smartphone and are always looking to electronic delivered content to avoid silent times of self-reflection? Just like a lock can only be opened by the right key, just like the only correct password can gain one access, the only person that can fill the emptiness of our soul, that can bring our dead spirit back alive, is our loving Father and the Son of Man who He reveals. This is the reason the Creator sent His life, to bring us, our spirits, back alive and to set us free from the cage we place ourselves in. This is why the Creator, our Father, sent His light to bring us out of the darkness. This is why the life and the light says this, quote, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Quote, truly I say to you, unless one is born from above, or again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I say to you, unless one is born both naturally and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Quote, if you continue in my word, not the Bible, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Unquote. Those are passages from John 12, 3, and 8. This necessary experience of event that Joshua speaks of above is required to bring our dead spirits back to life. He does not want us to remain in darkness. He does not want us to remain bound in our prison, our cage. If a person has not been born from above, they cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. Sadly, when many people get a slight understanding of what the light is saying here, they will immediately claim they have been born again, even when they have not. These are the religious crowd of some particular sects. How can we know? How can a person know if they have been born from above? That is like asking a man who has been in a prison and tortured for years if he knew when his rescuers got him out of the prison. You will know. That is like asking a woman blind from birth, when her eyes are healed and she opens them and sees the most beautiful sunset, if she knew when her eyes were open. She will know. Many will claim that they love the Lord our God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, but claiming something does not necessarily make it true. We can only love a person if we truly believe they exist. And in respect to Joshua and our father, if we have truly transferred our faith, trust, confidence to those persons and thus gotten to know them. We also cannot place our faith in something or someone who frightens us. Religion makes our father frightening. How can a person know if they have been truly born from above? How can a person know if they truly love their heavenly father with all that is in them? That is like asking a child who loves his parents, and those parents are taken away when she is 10 years old, if she will know when she is reunited with them 6 months later. You will know. How can a person know they have truly been born from above? That is like asking a truly remorseful prisoner who is heading for the electric chair if they will remember when the prison warden came and stopped the execution to tell him he was pardoned due to the victims believing he was truly remorseful and asking that mercy be shown to him. He will remember. He will know. Here are some objective signs of that new birth or of entering the kingdom of God or eternal life. If we have changed significantly from a person who is primarily guided by self-pride and fear and selfishness to a person who lives and fights for what is true and for what is right and who desires to love Joshua, our father, and others above all other things. If we now think about and want to talk about our father and Joshua, our new first loves most of the time. If we see our sin and our wrongness and are moved to change. If we hate the wrong in this world and will do what is required to bring change no matter what. If we are truly willing to lay down our lives, physically die, out of love for our friends. If we don't live for money and material security and entertainment and pleasure and for those from whom we get something back and the other things that the people of the world live for. Now would be a really good time for self-reflection, dear reader or dear listener. This change is a requirement to set a new destiny for ourselves. The kingdom of God is all about internal change first and then followed by external manifestations of that internal change. This chapter provided what was required for the inward or internal change. The following chapters will make clear the life changes or external changes that will occur if we have entered into eternal life. Chapter summary. Allowing ourselves to be changed and then working to change ourselves is required if we are going to live an exceptional life and be an exceptional human being. While personal change is difficult, it is also the most rewarding experience we can have in this life. Hard work is part of following Joshua. The easy way that Christianity presents is a false, empty, bankrupt, and shallow substitute to a real life of caring about what is true and right, seeking to live out love, and thus being a real change agent in this world. If we will not change ourselves nor be willing to work hard, then we will never be in a place to change others or have significant beneficial impact on others. We don't want to be discipled or disciplined. The most important internal change that can occur in a human being is to have our spirit made alive and thus move from darkness and death into light and life and begin our journey through faith in our newfound Father and Master. The most important external change for a human being is coming to change ourselves to be more like the light of the world, to behave and live differently as he instructs.